Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the political economics column from London, based in London, and we begin immediately with his column on inflation, expectations of inflation worldwide. Joe, a very good evening to you in London. The expectations are in the news all the time. You write about those expectations, but I mention in the past, we've debated temporary inflation. We've also debated stagflation and something that doesn't have a word, growthflation, good inflation. However, on the television in America, particularly the channel that's focused on the market, CNBC, there's talk that this inflation is overblown, if the metaphor works. The inflation is overblown and that it will quiet down and will resume growth without a threat to our savings and to the markets. You, however, write of expectation inflation. What is that, Joe? And how does that explain the nothing is wrong, calm down presentation we're seeing both from Washington, the White House, and from television, the market channels? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John. So this whole business of expected inflation or inflation expectations is going to be the next big battlefield in this economic argument that's going on right now. Because, you know, there is undeniable evidence now that there is inflation happening in the economy. We've seen that in the data for the past couple of months with consumer price increases, which are much faster than the Federal Reserve would normally aim for. And as we've previously discussed, a lot of economists, including at the Federal Reserve, want to argue that this is temporary. And the question has to be, what are they going to do to make sure it stays that way? And this is where this issue of inflation expectations comes in, because there has developed this theory over the years within the academic world of monetary economics that if people expect in the future that inflation will be moderate, even if inflation is high today, they will change their behavior in certain ways that will make that moderate future inflation a self-fulfilling prophecy. And this turns out, and I think we can have an interesting discussion about whether it's plausible. I think it's not a plausible theory. But this turns out to be really central now to the way that a lot of economists and market observers think that this current inflation is going to play out. And you hear this in terms of speeches from officials at the Federal Reserve talking about them regard as well-anchored inflation expectations, by which they mean that they still see evidence that people expect that inflation will moderate in the future, and that this expectation by itself is going to be enough to control all of these price rises that us ordinary mortals out in the shops find so vexing.
Joe, you write very carefully about how inflation has worked in the past. People expect prices to go higher, so they go to their employer and ask for a raise. That raise then contributes to more money. However, it doesn't solve the fact that the prices keep going up. Are we in that cycle now, or is that a once upon a time fairy tale that is not coming back to us?
That was kind of a fairy tale that has never been obviously true. And I mean, that kind of dynamic that you're describing there that I write about in the column by way of explanation is how economists tell themselves that they think that this all works, that you get this cycle where, you know, ordinary households and consumers expect there will be more inflation, so they bargain up wages, and that in turn drives up prices. And this is the mechanism by which they think that inflation expectations matter. They think that if you can control that cycle, you can control the upward demand for raises from workers and the rising prices. The problem is there's never really been a lot of support for that theory. I mean, your listeners just know from their ordinary experience that's not how it works. You don't go into your boss and say, well, I think the inflation rate next year is going to be 3.5%, so give me a 3.5% raise. And your boss then does not say, well, okay, I'll do that, and then I'll raise prices on my consumers. So, I mean, this has always been kind of a strange theory. And the main warning I would make is that something else is going on that drives this inflation here, and we should not be nearly relaxed as some professionals seem to be. This notion that just because people don't expect high inflation around the corner, that doesn't mean that it's not going to happen.
I read from CNBC's quote of the very famous Jim Cramer, a stock market guru who's on television. And you know, because you're on television is often the explanation as to why your opinion matters. Said Mr. Cramer, the economy is not going to be wrecked by ruinous inflation. The stock market won't crash because of government debt. I think we're more likely to see a soft landing for this sonic booming economy once the supply chain issues are ironed out and the enhanced unemployment benefits expire in September. What I take from that is there's a date certain in which the anxiety over inflation will ease. And perhaps it's Labor Day. Perhaps it's Halloween. Sometime the container ships will line up and be serviced. The people will go back to work because they no longer get a bonus. Is that how to read that, Joe? And is that how the markets are reading it? Or is this hope more than a plan?
It sounds very hopeful to me. I mean, I certainly hope that that kind of relatively benign scenario turns out to be true, because no one should wish for an economic catastrophe. But I think that the problem is we have to be aware that there are a lot of things that we need to, that can go wrong in that kind of very rosy scenario. So, for example, I mean, this is kind of assuming the labor market will figure itself out, that these unemployment benefits will be allowed to expire on schedule instead of continuing that. Also sort of assumes that you aren't going to have any kind of odd things going on in terms of workers who already have bargained for higher wages in the current environment and might not be able to sustain that. When you move forward, we don't know what that effect is going to be. And we also are assuming that this kind of bidding up of wages that we're seeing right now in response to the unemployment benefit is in some way related to inflation. But what if it actually has to do with a lot of other factors that are much more directly related to monetary policy, to very low interest rates and the availability of all of this cash in the economy? In which case, fixing the unemployment benefit problem isn't going to be much of a solution. So I think the thing to always remember here is just that there are so many moving parts in an economy, so few of which we actually understand very well. And right now, I think that inflation and a lot of these expectations and inflationary dynamics are the big unknown that we are all really grappling with a big potential for things to go south.
The picture is this from the pandemic. In February of 2020, we had robust economy, huge employment numbers, and an expectation of a great first quarter, even better second quarter, although we were facing an election and everybody knew there would be doubts. Here we are in the second quarter of 2021. What's different? What's different is the government has pushed trillions of dollars, has sent trillions of dollars, has issued trillions of dollars, which is government debt, into the economy for recovery. At the same time, we consumers have saved an enormous amount of money because we were not spending the last year. So we have two sources, two pools of cash. One are savings from working at home or just not spending. And two, the money coming from Washington, more money promised. Are those not trouble, Joe? Is Mr. Cramer saying we'll be okay and we can work through that amount of cash, our savings and the government largesse?
I think that there is a lot of reason to be very worried about all of this. I mean, because and you've really hit the nail on the head in your description of how we came to be in this situation, because this is an extraordinarily unusual kind of recession that we had last year when the economy slowed down due to the shutdowns, because usually recessions happen because there's been some kind of financial crash or panic. And, then you have this problem with the economy having to deal with the fact that the banks and other parts of the financial system are working out all of their losses and aren't in a position to lend to businesses that otherwise would be healthy, and households are retrenching, people are kind of tightening their belts financially. And that hasn't happened here. I mean, this is a very unique situation. The economic downturn happened because for completely unrelated reasons, the government had to shut down the economy in response to a pandemic. And now the question is, how are we going to reopen and recover from that? And in fact, the financial system and the plumbing of the economy has remained surprisingly healthy throughout, which means that you do have all of this cash burning holes in people's pockets. You do have the government contributing even more to that in the form of these stimulus bills. You do have all of this pent-up consumer demand. You do have all of these supply problems that are popping up because of continued shutdown in other parts of the world. And, we should be kind of worried that maybe we don't understand how this is all going to play out.
Joseph Sternberg, he writes political economics column for the Wall Street Journal editorial board. He's based in London. Inflation. We will continue to talk about the subject, of course, because it's here. We can see it, although sometimes it hides. This is CBS Eye on the World. We're going to much news in the European Union next about an air abduction. I'm John Batchelor.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.